Wow, this was a big step for me. This was the first step that I had some resistance to taking. As I had told you in the previous weeks, that I had had no problem admitting my life was unmanageable and that I was powerless over food. And when I got recovery after just a couple of meetings from the obsession, I had no trouble coming to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, because he already had done most of the work by doing that with food. And so, when it came to step three, then, though it was a different story, and made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. And for me, it was important to learn that when Bill first wrote the step, that he wrote it to read the care and direction of God. And somehow it got changed in the group conscience afterwards to what it how it reads today. But he never took the direction of God out of the big book, that it's still in there. In fact, tonight we were talking about how God is our director. You know, the reading tonight starts out with talking about us having to address our self-will, and that was and which is really important. And so we found ourselves in a situation that we had to become convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And so that's on page 60. And so one of the things that that is really helpful, I think. I used it on myself, and I've used it with guys I've sponsored. Is in that paragraph at the bottom of 60, that we reread it, but inserting our name in there where there are pronouns and such, so it would read something like this. The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, Daryl almost is almost always in collusion with something or somebody, even though Daryl's motives are good. Daryl tries to live by self-propulsion. Daryl is like the actor who wants to run the whole show, and going through like that, and coming to a place of really seeing that it is about me. This is me. I am self-centered, and that's a thing that they're really addressing at this part here. Another part that's really important to this page is that. And almost it eluded me for the longest time. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas: A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives; B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism; and C, that God could and would if he were sought. Now, the next thing that it says is being convinced of what? Of those three things. Then we were at step three. So that means the whole book up to this point, page 60, is about steps one and two. That's how important those steps are. And that now we're ready for step three. And so now Bill is taking us through that process, and we start looking at the self-will as we move through there. And also in doing so, that we learned that he's talking also about a structure of some sort, and a spiritual structure. And he talks about step one being built on firm bedrock, and then step three being built upon a foundation of complete willingness. And it talks about a cornerstone. What's a cornerstone? We learned that last week in the chapter on to the agnostic. And that was the the cornerstone was, could we believe, or are we at least willing to believe? If either one of those, if we can buy into either one of those two statements, our cornerstone, he says, is set in place. And upon which, he also says, upon which a wonderful spiritual structure can be built. And then he talks about the arch. You heard about that a little bit tonight. And the keystone is going to be this concept of God being the director, and instead of us being the director as the actors, you know, we get to be the actor. God's going to be the director. He's the principal. We're going to be his agent. And he's a father, and we're going to be his child. And so those are the concepts that that this keystone for this arch that we're going to walk through, a free man at last. And these are great promises. I mean, they're mind-blowing things. And I had a mentor when I first came into program, Peter Smith. And Peter was a wonderful guy, and he would meet with me every week. I think it was either Tuesday or Thursday, at his where he worked at the Optimist Boys Home in Los Angeles. And I didn't realize until later that, and he would be going through the big book with me and explaining what he had learned in program. And he was a great teacher and a great example. And I didn't realize till later that that he was doing service by giving up his lunchtime on that day for me. And I just found out that he had passed away in 2020. He had moved out of the area, and I knew that he was ill, but Anne found the obituary yesterday. We've been looking for it, and she, with a name like Smith, you got to wade through a whole bunch of them to find the right one. But anyway, sorry to say that Peter had passed away. But he had told me, when you take step three, when you really take step three, he said, hold on to your shorts, because you're in for a hell of a ride. And it was absolutely true that what I saw happening in short order, I was having trouble with step three and understanding this concept of turning your will and your life over to the care of God. And I've just barely had come to believe that that God could take care of business. But so the first thing that happened was that I had somebody had given me an audio tape of John Bradshaw, who was somebody that I really admired, and he was appearing on PBS. He had a show, and he had written a book, Healing the Shame That Binds Us, and it was something that I really related to, and in that. And so, and he said that he was having trouble. This was an he was speaking at a convention, and he was saying he was having trouble with the third step, and that what he but he saw that guys that were very upstanding people in the community, you know, bankers and doctors and lawyers and all of these people, even clergy, they're saying that they turned their will and their life over to the care of God, and their life got all straightened out. So he decided he was going to try that himself, and so he did, and it worked for him. And so just shortly after I heard that, this was God at work. I had a situation at work that I had never encountered and never thought I would encounter, but I did, and I didn't know what to do. And I said, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe I'll turn this over to God and let's see what happens. And so I did, and I made that conscious decision. I'm turning this one over to God. And I was describing to a guy that I'm was friendly with in the same industry I was in, and what it was going on. He's, oh, you got to call this guy, this lawyer. He's a specialist in that, and we had used him before. I called this guy, and this guy took care of everything. He came in, and I didn't have to do a darn thing, and he took care of everything. And so I said, well, that sure worked. And so I remember shortly thereafter that we had a quality control problem with one of our biggest customers. It was Smucker's, and so we were. My wife was with me, and we were driving down to their plant in Vista. And I remember as I and I was really nervous because we could not afford to lose this customer. And as we came over the hill, the facility was down below us, and we were kind of on a knoll looking down on it. And my wife, she was my ex-wife, and she had passed away just a couple of years ago. But she had we had divorced early on, but she was AA, and so I asked her to pray the third step prayer, the one we read tonight. Before I went down there, and we did. We prayed that third step prayer, and I went down there, and that whatever the problem was able to get resolved, and so I started seeing how things started falling in place in my life. So having trouble with the step itself. And my wife runs across this guy that's an AA guy with, and we were together, and oh, this guy is a, she says that he's a tape cassette tape junkie. And this guy says, come over here. And he has his hatchback, and he opens the back of it and is loaded with program tapes. He says, take whatever you want, and when you're done, just give them to your wife and she can bring them back to the meeting and give them back to me. And so there was one that just jumped out at me, and it was called Abandonment to Divine Providence. And it was about step three, but it was written 200 years ago. And so I got so much insight from that one tape. And things like that just kept happening. And we had a situation where we were having really difficult financial problems in our business, and we had a $1 million note that was going to come due in a few months, and we knew we weren't going to be able to pay it. We didn't know what was going to happen then, but it was a scary time, and taking out the loan, both my dad and myself had to pledge our houses, so we were going to lose everything if the company went bankrupt. And he was already in his 70s, so starting over is going to be pretty and not a real good option for him. And even I didn't know how, what I would do next, but I had to come to a place of accepting that. And accepting God, if that's your will, then your will be done. And that wasn't an easy thing to come to. I mean, even though I knew that that's where I had to end up, it took a long time for me to get there. But finally, I did that. I'm willing to lose a company if that's what it took. So then these guys come up as a couple of guys from Israel, and they want to buy the company. Oh, great. So we have this big negotiation. We finally decide on a price and everything. And it was a buyout that was not just for cash. It was that they were going to run the business and pay us out of the proceeds. Well, we're in the final negotiation. And all of a sudden, the guy says something that's a red flag for me. And I said, oh, let me, and I started thinking about it. I thought this was God giving me the solution here. And then I excused myself and I went down to the restroom and I got on my knees in the stall and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I knew what he wanted me to do. He didn't say it in words, but I knew he wanted me to pull the plug on the deal. And so I went back in and I did that. I pulled the plug on the deal and everybody was just shocked. And so as we left, we were driving back. My brother-in-law, who was the controller of the company, he said, "So what are we going to do instead?" And I said, "I don't know," and I didn't. But then 2 months later, two guys that are competitors of mine, and not friendly competitors either, by the way, they invite me out to breakfast, and so I told everybody, if I disappear, at least you know who did it. So I went out to breakfast with these guys, and so they're making small talk, and I'm wondering what the hell they're up to. And then the guy starts writing on a piece of paper, and he pushes it over towards me, and it's a number, and he says, "That's what we'll pay you for your company." And I said, "Sight unseen, the way it stands, they." Said yeah, and so then we had our attorney draw up papers that these guys had to sign before we would reveal anything to them that they are basically buying the company, and that's and so they gave me a 5-year contract to work for them while this was going on, and that gave me the opportunity to go back to school and do what I knew God wanted me to do, which was to become a therapist. And I did. It was an 8-year process, but it was one that was just filled with the guidance and direction all the way through the whole thing. Somebody at a meeting, I was looking for a school, and somebody at the meeting said there was a school in Orange County that was having an open house, and I said, oh, I'll go down there, and I went down there, and I walked in, and they had this rug embroidered, a big rug on the floor, embroidered with the likeness of Saint Francis. And it's just a place, you know, we have the Saint Francis prayer at step 11 in the 12 and 12. I said, this is the place. So I went there. My own therapist said, hey, don't go to that school.
3 minutes.
Thank you. It's not accredited. And I went anyway. And God saw me through the process, and even though the pass rate was only 1 out of 3 people that I passed on the first time, and that's a story all to itself. And so it just thing after thing after thing started falling in place, and it seemed like that God was taking care of all the loose ends as he went through this. And one of the most amazing things that when I went back to school to get my master's degree in psychology, counseling psychology, I had my first class. So it was my very first class. And these guys that had bought the company from us, and I'm now working for them, there was a world convention for our industry, and they couldn't go, so they sent me. And I got to be a representative from the United States. And guess where it was? It was in Vienna, Austria, the birthplace of modern psychology. And so I'm within walking distance of Freud's house. And there is no, and I went up there a couple times. Actually, I had a museum up there, and I got to take a bus up to the Vienna woods and all kinds of all. I was by myself, and I just had very limited duties at the function itself. But that was had to be God. There's no way in the world that I end up in Vienna when I'm getting ready to start this new career. And so I retired from it last year. So 20 years, licensed 20 years, and 8 years doing that. But that it was just and God still is working in my life and telling me what to do,
One
and
minute.
I just need to pay attention. And that's the most important thing of all. There's a guy, and I'll close with this. Tom Weston, who's a recovered alcoholic priest, and that I went to presentation that he did, and he had these rules. He says, we need to suit up, show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and trust God. And the showing up and paying attention, he said, that's paying attention for God talking to us and giving us direction in our life. That he does give us the direction. He tells us where he wants us to go next, one step at a time. He didn't give us the view down the road, but just that next step. And as long as we continue to take that next step, we're going to end up where he wants us to be. And that's the most important part of all. And I think it's the root of all happiness is knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you're where you're supposed to be. Thank you.